In the book of Ruth, we've been looking about the fields of grace, and I don't know if you, I've heard some of you've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed studying it and be able to preach it. It's really a good book. But the book of Ruth in chapter 2, we talked about how she was searching for grace, and she goes into the field. She asks Naomi, let me go into verse 2, to the field, to glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And, you know, she says, go. And in verse 4 through 17, she goes in this field, and she meets Boaz, and she finds the field where God has really blessed her. And we're going to look at tonight, verse 17 through 21. And I want to talk to you about the good news from the field of grace. She's, like I said, she was searching for the field, and she's in the field. Now she's coming back from the field of grace with some good news. In verse 17, it says, in chapter 2, it says, so she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, or where hast thou wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And now Naomi said unto her, this man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. In verse 21, and Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by the young men until they have ended all my harvest. And let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, Father, tonight, I ask you, Lord, to give me the unction, the clarity, the Lord, to preach your word and speak to our hearts, Father, and see how this idea, how Boaz was blessing Naomi and Ruth, Lord, how you bless in our life, Father, and you always make provision, you always satisfy the needs we have, Lord God, and you're always there, and even though we don't see how you're working, but you're always working behind the scenes. And Father, help us to learn and glean from these truths, and help us be able to apply these so we can know who you are closer and be able to walk with you, Father. Lord, we love you, and help the ones tonight that needs you, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we see the story of Moab, and she was going out in the field in the barley to glean, and she, listen, she's met the owner, and verse 8 tells us that, you know, Boaz said Boaz unto Ruth, here's thou not, it's kind of like saying, what is it about, listen, I'm about to say something to you, my daughter, go not glean in another field, neither go from hence, and abide here in the fast by the maidens. And then she meets the owner, but she catches his eye. In verse 5, it tells us that he says, whose damsel is this? He sees her, and he kind of like, who is this woman? And she personally sits with him. In verse 14, it tells us how she dipped a morsel in the vinegar, and she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and he basically handed her the parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. So we see why she was there. She met the owner. She caught his eyes, and she was personally was served with him. But listen, when she left the field, listen, she came back more than she thought she was going to bring. I mean, she really went to go get a little bit of food just for her and Naomi, but she came back weary, she came back tired, she came back laboring, and then she came back with a story to tell that she didn't believe anybody would believe what she took place. All day, Naomi was waiting for her to come back with just a little bit of grain. I mean, think of this, too. She's going to glean the field. She's going to go in the field, and she comes back with a ephah of barley. Listen, nobody expected that. But Naomi is just thinking, maybe that they'll get enough just for her, and that they could eat that day. Not only that she had grain, but she had good news to tell. And this field of grace, you could understand, it really does help us to grow and help us to be able to have a closer walk with the Lord. Help us to grasp in truths that what Ruth and Naomi learned and how Boaz and what he's doing, it help us to see how the Lord is working in our lives. Number 7, verse 17, it kind of gives you an idea of the provision he's trying to make is to satisfy. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field unto evening, and then beat out what she had and gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Listen, she returned with 48 pounds of barley. You know, omer was basically a, I think it was 2 pints or for one person. That's what one person had. She had not. Listen, she had enough to last for 5 days for 2 people or 10 days. That's the kind of estimate what she had. She brought in a bucket full of barley. I mean, you don't get this gleaning this much. She went out just for a little bit, and she came back a lot. And listen, she had more. You know, and what he was trying to do is to get her to be blessed. And you know what? He didn't want her to go anywhere else. He didn't want her to think about going anywhere else. I mean, he called her out and he said, I want you to stay here, but he said, I want you to go nowhere else. Like verse 8, he says, I want you not to glean in another field. I want you to stay here and buy fast by my maidens. And he blessed her so much. And then our Lord determines to bless us with the same amount of blessings. He doesn't want you to just give you enough a little bit, like, you know, I got my faith promise and that's it. And he said, that's all. I ain't going to give you no more. He listen, he wants to bless you more. He wants to do more. Wherever you think you gave and God gave, he said, I can do more than that. I mean, you see, if you give your life to God, he said, you think that's enough? I can give you more than abundance of life. How much, abundance of life do you think, imagine a person has when he walks with the Lord? More you give yourself to God, more you have of God, more closeness of God. But listen, we'll look at Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 1 real quick. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, Paul tells the church of Ephesus in verse 3, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Listen, he's blessed us not just a little bit, but all spiritual blessings. He blessed us with pardon, he blessed us with redemption, he blessed us with peace, he blessed us with earnest of inheritance, he blessed us with the Spirit of God, whether gifts or grace, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Listen, he wants to give you a lot. He wants to bless your life a lot. He doesn't want you to ever think about going somewhere else for spiritual blessings. You're in Christ. I mean, listen, he's blessed us here, and he's going to bless us on down the line of life. He doesn't want you to say, well, I need to figure out how I get my money. He wants you to go to him. He says, well, I don't know how to get my wife. He said, go to me. I can show you. He said, all spiritual blessings in life. He wants to bless us. He wants you to get more than you think. He doesn't want you to go anywhere else. God wants us to bless us. In verse 21, hold your place in Ephesus. Well, I'll go back to Ephesus. In verse 21, Ruth says, the Moabite has said, he said unto me also, not just he blessed me all this stuff, he said also unto me that thou shalt keep fast by the young men until they have ended all my harvest. He said, I want you to stay until the harvest is over with. Not just today, but you come back tomorrow and the next day until the harvest, I'm going to bless you. You keep coming back, you stay fast. And that's what God is doing. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Listen, he wants to bless us the ages to come. In the future, he wants to bless your life. I mean, that's the promise, just like we're talking about God. You know, Brother Ray said, God's blessed. He promised. Well, this is a promise. In ages to come, he might show his exceeding mercies, exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness towards us. He wants to show those grace. He wants us to abound in those things. He doesn't want us to go anywhere else. He wants to show those real blessings in our life. In verse 17, we saw that he wants to satisfy. Listen, he wanted to satisfy Ruth and not to go anywhere else. But verse 18, he shows that he wants to design to show his provision. Verse 6, and she took it up and went into the city. Now this is amazing. She got the bag and then she went to the city to her mother-in-law that saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after what she had sufficed. Now imagine this, she takes a 48 pounds of bag of garlic and she goes to that city. This is the Moabite girl. This is the one they said she's a washpot. This is one that she was despised, they didn't look at. This is one that when they came back, remember Naomi is depressed and don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, I'm bitter against God. And she's the one this is that girl that married Naomi's son that they died and she's with her, a Moabite. Listen, she's carrying this bag. I mean, listen, everybody knew who that girl was. Listen, this is where, remember the same story. He said, whose damsel is this to the servant over the reapers? He said, this is the one that was everybody's talking about. This is the one that everybody's talking about what she's done. And he knows about this. Everybody's kind of, reminds me of Zachary. I meet people that knows other people. Oh, I know that person. Oh, I know that person. I know that church. And I know, you know, so-and-so in that church. And everybody knows everybody in Zachary, seemed like. Well, it's the same place then. Everybody knows everybody. Somebody did wrong, everybody knew about it. You know, everybody's going to know about now that this Moabite girl. And there she is walking with a 48-pound bag of sack. And this is, she's supposed to be a widow whopping. Listen, she received this. Nothing, they thought that she had nothing. She was nothing, but she came back from the field gleaning. They saw that she received the blessing, and they were watching her go by. Listen, can you imagine what Boaz could be possibly making a statement says, I got my eye on that girl. I'm watching her. He put a blessing on her. And I think about what God is saying to us. He said, I got my eye on you. And he blesses us, and people say there's something different about that person. You know, he's making a statement, I got my eye on a blessing on her life. You know, the blessing is really designed to show God is good, what God is doing in our life. Brother Hall gives a testimony of what God. It ain't about Brother Hall. It really was about God. And she gave a testimony of what God has done. I mean, that's a powerful thing. I didn't have a job and I'm going to give. But God, that's not about her. It's about God. And God is showing how good he is. And listen, it creates a desire for him. Saying, if God can do it for her, could he not do it for me? Listen, in our hearts, people can know who he is and have desire to grow in this grace and live by grace. You know, our life is to be a living testimony of his goodness. Of his grace, his power. Matthew 5:16 tells us that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not about you. It's about him. But God works and he shows his desire to be a blessing so others may see and have that same desire. You know, people see a difference in your life. You know, listen, as we live our lives, it's a blessing to God. The world will be affected what's taking place. You think about Wednesday night and you go to church, they see you back out and you go to work. Well, they're going to church again. It's making a difference in their life. It really makes it. Going to Sunday morning, Sunday evening, they say, they're going to church. They go, where are you going Saturday? Going to church. Where are you going to church for Saturday? I'm going soul winning. It makes a difference. It affects them. Do you know that, listen, it makes a difference. I got four ladies, Miss Kristen, I got Miss Joyce, Miss Tina, the three ladies, and Brother Benny, teachers in our school. We had missions Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. They left about 8 o'clock, drove all the way to Jacksonville, and then had a school for Monday morning, 8 o'clock. They didn't get in, I guess, about 11 o'clock. That's a testimony. Listen, they said, they didn't scream and say, preacher, I need off. I'm tired. They said, no, God is first. I'm going to church. I'm going to serve God and worship God. And then it may take a little of my time, but you know, it's a testimony. It's encouragement saying, hey, God is important. He's first in my life. And listen, they may not feel it at that time, but it was a testimony. Hey, God is important. It's important. Listen, our lives, it makes effect in the world around us. Real blessings of God is Matthew 5:22. You know, you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That is a testimony. How can you have joy? How can you have peace? And listen, I bet you was tired Monday, wouldn't you? Yeah, exhausted. But listen, you had to say God is first and God is going to honor those things. She could have said to the kids, well, church is important unless. No, church is important. God is important. I mean, some things providentially hinders us from going to church. You got me at the word. You get sick. Things do happen like that. But what are you doing? Putting God first. And people see a difference in your life. Listen, she was making a showing. It was a showing of God's provision. In verse 18, it says that she took it up and went in the city and her mother-in-law and saw that what she had gleaned. And she went. She brought forth and gave to her and what she had reserved as she was sufficed. Listen, she shared. It was designed not just to satisfy with a provision, just to satisfy or to show. It was designed to share. She had bounty provision. You know this verse here, that it ain't just that she took the barley they had, but remember she ate with the owner, Boaz, and he handed her the morsel, and listen, she ate and she was sufficed. She was sufficient. She had a fool's meal. What did Naomi have? She was still at home waiting for the gleaning, just a little bit of food. She had so much left over, she kept it and she brought it. She shared that to her. Listen, are designed to not just to hold it and hoard it in our life, be selfish, but to share it and give to others. Our talents. God, listen, God has given some of us talents. I mean, Brother Danny knows electricity, does some things around here. Brother Hall knows some things. Brother Frank, we all got different talents and abilities. Everyone is important in this church. You all have a part you can be involved in giving, but you hold that. You're stopping that. You're not sharing. Miss Phoebe is good with flowers and stuff like that. I mean, that's a blessing. We need those things. But listen, people need those things. They see what God is doing. You're not doing it for show. You're doing it for God. That makes a difference. Listen, those provisions God made for her, and she was willing to share those things. Ruth got what she had because she was willing to work for it. Listen, she didn't get the food because she sat at home. She went and gleaned. Listen, she was willing to go out and listen. God's willing to give our best if you're willing to go. You want a better prayer life? You better start praying. You want to win somebody to Jesus Christ? You better start talking to somebody. Listen, you want to see God work in your life in mission? Start to be giving and start doing something. Listen, you got to go day by day working with God and say, God, what do you have me to do? Say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, search the scripture. He says, seek and knock and you'll find. Elizabeth, he's always willing to share with others. You give a little bit, you reap a little bit. You give a lot, you get a lot. What you share, listen, she was sharing. Matthew 16:24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Think about it. It's not about me. I'm to get myself and say, what is it you want me to do? And take up his cross and follow me. Listen, he's going after, you have to go. You're not going to ever get an answer to prayer if you don't pray. If you're not going to do anything for God, you got to get up. That's what the world wants you to do, sit at home on welfare. God doesn't teach welfare. Listen, she had to go glean, didn't she not? God provided provision for the poor, but they had to go work. You want God's blessing, you got to go search for it. You got to go into it and stay within the realms, but she had to stay in that field of blessings. Also, we see that this is the provision. We see the good news of a person. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Now listen, I'm not really emphasizing. Can you imagine? She comes in, she expected a little bit of grain. Really, just a little bit of grain just for her that day. She comes back with a big old 5 days, 10 days worth of meal. And she comes in and says, where hast thou, she goes, what is it, 19? Says, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Then she goes, blessed be he that did knowledge thee. Listen, you see how Naomi saw what Ruth returned. She was overwhelmed. She's magnified. She could easily see that, listen, God was doing something. You don't get this by merely gleaning. This doesn't come. This is a blessing. Listen, you don't give it a little bit of mission. You don't have it. You get a job. That don't come by man's. That's God. You don't get the money you put in. He gives you hourly pay and he double, triple, whatever it is. That's God. It didn't happen to me, but listen, God will still work in his way in your life when you need it. But the thing is, it always God comes and provides those needs. Listen, she knew that someone was being blessed. It was an open hand, gave. The word knowledge means conveys the idea of paying attention, to acknowledge or to notice. Listen, Naomi realized that someone gave them a grain, and listen, this was a special blessing to her. Naomi didn't understand it. Ruth didn't understand it. But listen, somebody wanted to know her a little bit more. And that was Boaz. He wanted to know her a little bit more. Look at me with chapter 2, verse 5. He emphasizes here. Remember, he says, then said Boaz unto his servant, to his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not? He said, I'm about to tell you something. I'm about to tell you, listen, he said, my daughter, go not and glean to another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thy eyes be on the field that do reap and to go after them. It says, and go thou after them. He said, have I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessel and drink for that which the young men have drawn. You see how he wants to know her better. He's telling her, don't go anywhere, you stay here. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. He said, and he dips the morsel in the vinegar, and she did sit beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And this is, she is a Moabite. Everybody don't like a Moabite. Everybody kind of looks down on her, but listen, he was interested because he's heard of her testimony, saw what she did. Listen, he wanted to know more about her. Verse 21, he says, I don't want you to go anywhere. Stay in this harvest. Oh, he's trying to tell her he wants to know more about her. Ain't that interesting how God wants to do the same thing in our life? He's interested in our life. in our situation. Wherever you may be in spiritual journey, He's interested in knowing you better. If you're lost, He's interested to get saved. If you're cold, He's interested in you not be cold and come to Him. Backslid, He wants you to come back. I mean, God is interested. If you're defeated, He wants to help you to overcome those issues. But you have to go into the field. You got to get the Word of God and get around God and say, God, help me. But day by day, He's interested. This is Boaz interested in that female. This is God is interested in us. He desires you. He's interested to help us. He's interested to make us offer unto you. Listen, a question I messed up. Are you interested in what He's offering you, though? We know He's interested in for us. But are you interested in Him? Are you really interested in what He really wants to offer you? Are you interested in what you want more than Him? The thing is, God brings a provision, but the person is He's interested, but He's also who is involved. In verse 19, He says, who is involved? Boaz is involved. Who is this? You know, she's asking, who's took knowledge of thee and showed thee? And she tells us, Boaz. Listen, Boaz was interested. Not only interested in Ruth's situation, he was now involved, and his hands were open, his heart is open, his step to improve her conditions. We looked at those verses. Listen, he's busy about behind the scene to help her needs. Listen, he tells the man, he says, now look, when she left, and he says, now I want you to go and let her glean and look, do a handful of purpose on the floor. Let her reap a little bit. Listen, let her have that. Don't bother her. Listen, God's always involved behind the scenes where we don't see Him working. And He was behind the scenes working in her life. But listen, she was busy. Times you cannot see God and God's hand is not invisible, we can rest assured that He's actually working to fulfill His plan in our life. In Psalms 121, let me read that. Time is killing me here. But Psalms 121, I like this psalm here because it really is a blessing to see how God looks at it. It says, verse 1 of Psalms 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Listen, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shadow, thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Listen, God is always interested in it. He's involved in our life and He's watching us and He's protecting us. Listen, I may not see what God is doing. We may not see what God is doing in this community. We go out passing out tracts and I don't see no bunch of people, but I don't see what God is doing. Doesn't mean that God's not working. Listen, you got to be involved, and listen, you keep working the fields. You're going to glean. But listen, He can give you a bucket full, a wagon full more than you can handle. Listen, her windows were open more than she didn't come back just for a day's meal. And people saw that, listen, she'd been in Boaz's field. People need to see that we've been in the Lord's field. People need to see when you're reading the Word of God, there's a lot changing in your life. People need to see a difference when you're gleaning. Listen, God wants to do that not for you. We don't deserve it. But it's for Him that people can see a difference in your life. That your light shining of Him, that they may glorify the Father. And not just in being interested and involved, but listen, He's an instrument. He doesn't even realize the extent He's being used of God. There's three ways He's being used. Chapter 1, verse 20. Do you remember when she said here, it says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and Almighty has afflicted me? Listen, she was backslidden, she was down, she was defeated. Listen, she had no hope. I mean, she was just worth it. And then, hey, Naomi, Ruth said, hey, do you mind if I go in the field and glean? And maybe I can find a field to have grace. And she says, go. And listen, she didn't see God working. She don't see God working. God's not doing nothing. My life is terrible. Everything's terrible. Nothing good. Nothing's going to come out good. And then she comes back and she sees this bag and all she can say is, where you work? Where you been? Listen, she took knowledge that something's being taken place. Listen, Boaz didn't realize he was being an instrument in her life, being a revival in Naomi's life. It changed her. I've gone door knocking and looked at women weeping and crying. She said, I can't talk right now. He's in the back fighting, but she's hurting. Now, I didn't win her to the Lord. I didn't change her life and fix the marriage. But all I could do is give her a track and say, I'll be praying for you. And she says, thank you. Maybe it was just encouragement to life ain't over. Somebody does care. Listen, Boaz didn't know that he was going to be an instrument revolving her life. It was a change. And listen, he could be in backsliding condition. Listen, she can return to the field, a place of worship, seeing God's doing. But the first step, you got to get back. You got to go back. And she saw what God was doing. You know, 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But you got to go back. Listen, the instrument, that's just revival, but in redemption. Naomi listened, and listen, when she was listening to her, what field, where are you going? And she said, Boaz, the wheels were clicking. The wheels were clicking. Verse 20 says, oh, he's a near kin unto us, one of our kinsmen. She understood that principle of a near kinsman. She was seeing what God was doing. She's starting to realize the whole big concept and the providence. Is it by happenstance she walks into the field? You know, it's by happenstance when the, listen, with this leak, when he hit that mirror and those three guys, without happenstance. It's funny, I talked to those guys, I led to them, Lord, and, you know, asked between them and God. I mean, they want to lie and say, yes, Lord, save me. Ask between them and God. All I can do is pour my heart out to them, tell them, this is the way. Repent, call upon him. Then I go to another place and talk to that guy. Is that happenstance? That's providential God working. But you got to be willing to be in the field and go. I had to be willing to go. If I stood home, none of that would happen. It's sad I don't see him, but I still see God working. That's just fun because he let me be part of it. But listen, we need to realize what God is doing. And she realized the concept. But there's three things I want you to realize, and we'll close on this right here. A near kinsman redeemer had three things that had to be taken time to be true. He had to be related. Boaz, we're related. Chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us he was a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth in the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Listen, he was a near kinsman. Listen, Jesus Christ is our near kinsman. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 said, it came flesh. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 11, it talks about he became a man as a servant. He was our near kinsman. He was related to man. Listen, he was able to redeem. He was a mighty man of wealth. He was able to redeem them. Then Jesus Christ was able to redeem us. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. By him, the uttermost, that means how wicked, vile you could be to the uttermost, they're able to come to God, sin, the ever liveth to make intercession for them. Listen, he's able to redeem whoever, whosoever will. But the third thing is, he's got to be willing to redeem. Listen, he had to be willing to redeem. We see in chapter 3, verse 13, he was willing, but there was somebody before him that he had to be willing. That man wasn't willing. But Jesus Christ was a willing redeemer. Listen, he came to be willing to die for our cross. This is for the sole reason he came, to die on the cross, to shed his blood for our sins. You know, think about the field of grace, and this is, she saw, and she come back with good news. We are coming back with good news, what God has changed your life, and listen, what God is working in your life. It's a testimony. But if you don't go into the field and you don't shine that light, how can they see that? Listen, she put that bag, 48 pounds. I don't know if she was a 5-foot woman weighing 90 pounds, but I'm telling you what, she put that 48 pounds on her shoulder and she walked proud what God has done. When God changed your life, are you excited about it? You say, preacher, I got saved 30 years ago. Well, amen. You're not sad? You're not excited about it? I mean, we need to remember what that he gave us. We went to church or wherever it is to get a little blessing or maybe struggles or help a little prayer. Just help this, and God gave us more than that, didn't he? He just didn't fix our problem. He calls his son and daughter, and he gives eternal life and inheritance forever and ever and ever. He said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you, and I'm coming back for you and give you more blessings than you can imagine. Oh, listen, I don't want you to go nowhere. I want you not to think about going nowhere. I don't want you to think about going anywhere. What he's got for you. But we got to go in the field. We got to go in the field, the Word of God, and start gleaning. And you get the blessing. She would never got, every day, if she ever went there, she would never got that food, would she? And every day, he made sure that handful of purpose left. She didn't see all of what's taking place behind the scenes. I don't see what God's doing behind the scene every day. But God always brought, and that's why I'm praising and giving thanks to God what he's doing. He says it's a small thing. It may be to you a small thing. But that's an exciting thing. I don't have a job, and that's exciting. Because God can do great and mighty things. The thing is this, maybe your prayer life ain't getting affected. Then you need to get in the field and start praying. How about living holiness? Preacher, I can't live holy. Now, you're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. But does it mean we can't strive to live our best every day? To live better and closer to God. Listen, there's no different D.L. Moody, John R. Rice. They're men just like me and you. Ruth is no different than me and you. But she trusted. And she went in that field and God's blessed and blessed. And it is amazing that she has David. Third grandson, she had Jesse. Was it Jesse, then David? Listen, God continued blessing her. Because she was willing to go. Forsake all that she had and follow this God. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to say, here am I, God, I'll go wherever you lead me. God may never send you to Armenia and different places like that. But God may send you right down here road to call Clinton. Tell about some woman or some man that's hurting and striving and said, look, let me tell you what Jesus can do for you.